John 11. The God of miracles. I was going to continue my message on revival, the demands of revival, but I failed to switch. Maybe let me, it's just about two or three points on that one. Maybe let me finish that one. Is that okay? So what was the last point I came to last week? Who remembers? Hello, are we here? What was the last point I came to about the demands of revival? What causes revival to happen? I think I came to faith. So, yes. So those of you who were here, so let me just complete it. There's a few things and we all agree that we need revival. Is that not so? The state of the church, not just this church, everywhere almost, calls for revival. The church is not in a good state at all. Wouldn't you agree? And I gave you the reasons why the church needs revival, and I'm sure you all agreed. So there's no debate about that. Point number six, before I get into John. For revival to take place, we must be ready to pay the price. It involves a lot of work. Say work. Yes. Most of the time, people want or people desire privileges. People desire titles. But people don't want to be engaged in the work that brings these things. How many of you want to be great? Some of us even will lift two hands. But there's always what? A price and a cost to it. Are you here? Titles, so on and so forth, calls for a lot of what? Work. If we want to see revival, then we must work. There's a human aspect of it that requires us to do certain things. By the way, let me define work for you. It is the exertion of mental, physical, and spiritual energy to overcome obstacles to achieve a desired end. It is the exertion of mental, physical, spiritual energy to overcome what? Obstacles. How many of you will agree with me that to want anything good, you will face obstacles? You will face opposition. But then you must work to prevail against it. If we want revival, we must pay the price of consecration to God, sanctified unto God, and pray. I didn't hear any amen. I said, well, pray. For hours on end, it takes energy, it takes effort. It puts us in an uncomfortable situation, but we must do that so that we can see the glory of God. If we want revival, the question is, are we prepared for it? The desire of desiring any, how many of you who are normal who want a great marriage? It will not just happen because you desire it. I didn't hear any amen. If you want anything good, you got to pay the price. You got to prepare yourself. You got to know what is involved and engage in it. In the same way, for revival to happen, there are certain things that we have to do. Other than that, it will be que sera, sera. Whatever will be, it is not so. God said, if my people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, pray and seek my face, then, say then. That is the condition. If we will do such, then the Lord will open the heavens and pour out what? A blessing upon us. We must be ready to work. Number seven, perseverance. It's always easy to begin. Hello? How many of you have New Year resolutions? This year I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going January 31st night. Yeah, all kinds of things people were declaring. February came. At times, it doesn't even take 2 weeks. And the things that you told yourself you were going to do. Am I lying? So there's a spiritual force called perseverance. Endurance. The ability to stay put, unshaken, and still keep on keeping on. And it's not pleasant. When everything is what? Negative around you. For us to see revival, it takes perseverance. I can give you history of men and women who have prayed for breakthroughs. Revivals. And at times, it takes years. Hello? The Outer Hebrides revival that happened in Scotland in 1954 or so. It took the leaders of the church praying from what? 10 to 4 for 6 months, nonstop. They will pray from 10 in the evening to 4. They will go to bed at 4, wake up at 6, and go to work. How many of you know that it's not easy to do that? But they did it. And on the 6 months, God visited them. They needed them, because at times you are praying as if nothing is happening. How many of you are there? You are praying as if all your prayers, but I can tell you it is working. Because the Bible says in Revelations, when the prayers went up, it became full in a certain cup. And when it became full, God then took it and released it on earth with thunderings and what? Lightnings. We need perseverance. We need diligence. We need patience to pray. So those of you who have started praying, I ask you to start praying in your homes. How many of you have been doing it? Okay, the number has increased. Praise the Lord. As you do that, at times it may appear that it's boring. It may appear as if it's getting nowhere. But we walk by faith and not by sight. As you continue, one day something will definitely what? Break forth. So we need that force of perseverance. By the way, this applies to any area of your life where you want to see what? Breakthrough. How many of you did your driving test 4 times? Don't raise your hands. I did my 5 times. When they fail you, say, I'm still good. I will go again. When you fail again, go again. When you fail, go again. When you pray, nothing happens, pray again. Be like Elijah. He prayed what? 7 times. As long as you know God has promised that he wants to bring a breakthrough, a revival to us, we should never what? Give up. God cannot lie. If he said what, he will what? Do it. Finally, what is important to realize is this. All that I have thought, it takes the Holy Spirit to work it in us. Because it is he who is at work in us, both to, even to have the desire for revival comes from above. To have the grace to pray comes from above. So trust God. Don't trust in your own strength, your own natural what? Strength. Just make yourself available and the Holy Ghost will what? Do the rest. So that is that. So we have all the necessary ingredients, the demands of revival for things to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's go to John chapter 11. God of miracles. Dead bones will come alive. I said dead bones will come alive. If you don't have any dead bones, all things are wonderful for you. Then pray for us who have got some dead bones issues in our lives. Now, a certain man was sick. John chapter 11, verse 1. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, the person you love is sick. Now, what I like about this is that you can see that there was a kind of affectionate relationship between Christ and this particular family. They had a special connection. In fact, throughout the recorded scriptures, this family was the closest to Jesus. Amen? So, their brother Lazarus was ill. So, they sent to Jesus their friend, Jesus, your friend, the man you love, is sick. Please come and heal him. When Jesus heard it, Jesus' first statement was this. This sickness is not unto death. Listen to me. Whatever you are going through, hear the word of the Lord. That situation is not permanent. You see, if you can believe, all things are possible. So Jesus said, no. This particular death is not unto what? This particular illness is not unto death. By the way, that tells me that some sicknesses are unto death. Amen. But you need to find out the mind of God, whether it's unto death or it's unto life. Are you here? Amen. So the word of the, remember, I will come back to this. Jesus said, this situation, Lazarus is not going to die. Verse 4 says that. Then go to with me to verse 17 because of time. See what happens. Jesus waited for 4 days to make sure that Lazarus is dead, dead. Are we here? At times God waits till your situation is what? Dead, dead. where there's no human engineering, human intellect, human power, your connections, it cannot do squat. The situation is kaput. So that when God does the miracle, you will know that it is God, not your uncle, not Pastor John. But this is the work of the Most High God. So he waited 4 days till Lazarus was really dead. In fact, he was buried. So from verse 17, let's see what it says. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been laying in the grave for days, 4 days already. Now, Bethany was very close to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them and so forth. They came to, you know, they were mourning with Mary, they were mourning with Martha. You know, verse 20, let's see what it says. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Listen to me. When Martha heard that Jesus was very close, a few miles from where the situation was happening, what did she do? What did she do? Are you here? She ran to Jesus. Listen to me. Jesus is here right now. You have to just relax. He's here. Be conscious of his presence. Hallelujah. If you will run to him with your situation, he will make a difference. So let's see the encounter that Mary had with, Martha had with Jesus. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many of us have been in that situation before? God, if when the situation started, if you had answered my prayer 3 years ago, I will not be in this mess. How many of you have said that before? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, she was leaning onto her own understanding. And that's what most of the time what we do. We lean onto our own what? Understanding. When she calculated the situation, the brother has been dead. And you know that when you die in the Middle East, because of the heat, your body will start decomposing what? That's why they bury very fast. You die today, they are burying you. And with that is how burials will take place. It will save us a lot of trouble. Amen. Even here, it's better, especially so, Afrikiko. I'm burying people after 3-4 months. You wonder what is going on here. We should bring the Jewish way. You die today, tomorrow you are gone. Every church has got only one coffin. Oh, yes, in the Jews and the Muslims, one coffin is there in the corner. It is not even a coffin, it's a stretcher. When you die, they go and buy white cloth like this, linen, wrap you, take you, put you in the thing, they bring it back, next person. It will save a lot of costs. Putting a lot of money in the dead. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead and give the money to the living. I didn't hear a good amen here. Why all this waste of money? I don't know. When I die, I'm going to tell my wife, wrap me in this thing. I don't want even any smoke. We don't open anybody to come and see me. Just bury me immediately. Oh. What's the big deal about? I say all the money used for yourself and the children. Why should you waste the money on me? That's you tell me, does it make sense? Okay. If you want to do, you've got your money, you carry on. But I'll tell my wife, Vivian, hey, I don't want this waste. So, Martha said, Jesus. Oh, I said, I was thinking about it the other day. So, look, I don't want people coming to Google on the day, just coming around. What for? Case closed. It's better. And carry on with your life. You will see me in heaven. Hallelujah. You can mourn. You can cry if you want 2 years, 3 years. Some people mourn for years. That's okay. But don't waste money. Listen to what even Martha said. Oh. She said that if you have been here, my brother will not die. Then she said in verse 22, but I know. She said what? I know. Look at that. I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So she's contradicting herself. I know.
Whatever means what? Whatever. Do you know that God lives in timelessness? God can go into what? Into the past. Because God lives outside of time. He doesn't live in time. He can change times and seasons. Daniel chapter 3. So Martha was declaring that Jesus could do what? Anything he asks the Father. So I don't know why she did not believe Jesus for what? Her brother to come alive. Then listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Your situation will change. The thing holding you will lose you in the name of Jesus. That circumstance that seems to be plaguing you for years, it will change. Your brother will rise again. You know what my Martha said? The one who says she believed that God can do anything. She said, I know. She said, I know. Do you know that perception is not everything? Write that one down. Perception is not necessarily reality. You can perceive and have a perception that is totally, absolutely what? Wrong. You may believe it is true, but it's not true. Martha's perception was totally wrong. You know, after Jesus said she will rise again, then she said this. I know, on the resurrection, on the last day, my brother will rise. Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about that. I, the one standing here, the Jesus who is standing and sitting next to you today, I am the resurrection and the life. If you can believe that situation, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. He will change it for you absolutely. If you can believe. Martha believed that Jesus could heal before. Then she postponed it. She left the present and then went into the future. And then said, I know in the future. You see, at times our faith is like that. One day, everything gonna be okay. One day, it's gonna... Look, today, if you hear his voice, harden not to say, yes, Lord, today, not tomorrow. Because when God speaks, he speaks in the present. And in the mind of God, what has happened has already what? Happened. So Mary was having a good debate with Jesus. Some of you have had good debates with Christ. Huh? True or not true? God, when will this thing come to pass? Some of you have got so many prophetic words. Wonder when? Have you been there before? So this thing, when will it come to pass? Jesus. By the way, the Bible says that war with the prophecy that has gone over your life. Pray your prophecy. Give birth to them in prayer. It will not happen. It's not case, Sarah. There's always, most of the time, there's always a human part condition for you and I to what? Fulfill. Anyway, so Jesus goes on to tell Mary, Martha this. Jesus said unto her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then she turns to Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe that today dead things in your life will come alive? This is a message for somebody. Ask your neighbor, is it for you? Maybe. Ask them. Did they answer? Maybe it's not for them. But, you know, God can visit a church just for only one person. And I know what I am telling you. I know what the Lord told me last night. That situation that is absolutely impossible. No way out. He will turn it around. Then you will say, God be God. He alone has done this. Do you believe this, Martha, that I am the resurrection and the life? I can command your brother to come alive. You don't have to wait to what? Thousands of years. Right now, he will come alive. Believest thou this? Thank God that Jesus was not depending upon what? Martha's faith. That would have been the end of the case. Today, there's faith to bring miracles. That's why I made us sing that song. I believe in miracles. You are the God of wonders. I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. Then let's go on to verse 28. And when she had said so, she went away after this encounter with Jesus. By the way, this
Mary really loved Jesus. She was the one who went and sat at Jesus' feet. And then she loved Jesus so much, she was using her tears. I don't know how many tears the tears was, but in the Jews, they used to wear sandals, okay? And when you go to a house, their feet are really what? Dirty. So usually the host of the house will send their slaves to wash the feet of the visitor or guest. So when Jesus entered and was speaking to the Pharisee, Mary was pouring her tears of love on Jesus' feet. They're using her nice hair. By the way, do you know what hair stands for, especially for women? What does hair stand for women? Your glory. She was using her glory to wipe the feet of Jesus. She was saying that all my glory and everything I lay at your feet. So Jesus really loved this woman. This woman was really close to Christ. Okay. So Martha went and told her sister that Jesus has come. And immediately Mary was rose up and also rushed to Jesus, the one whom she loved. And when she said the same thing her sister said. I'm sure they've been discussing it. How many of you have been discussing issues at home? This thing that Pastor John has been preaching, this thing in the Bible, are you sure it is true that God is a healer? Hello? Have you been there before? If you've not been there before, then you have not faced any situation before. Hello? At times when you're in a certain situation, at times you laugh at people who go and consult other things. At times when you're in certain situations, you yourself, you will see what you will do. Because you are not there, you can sit down and pontificate. Go through it. And if you are suffering, really suffering, you're a Christian, serious, all the prayers, nothing is well, and they tell you there's a juju man there that can solve your problem, a lot of people will go there, I'm telling you. Because the pain is so much that all they want is what? Relief. So if they don't care who will bring them relief, true or not true, why then do people marry some funny people? When they know this person is funny, you shouldn't marry them. Their desperation will make them do what they shouldn't do. They don't care if the person is a Muslim or not. I don't care, Pastor John. I've been waiting for too long. He's a nice man. He may be, but I'm happy. Oh, the place has gone quiet now. I'm not speaking Hebrew here. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you haven't been in certain situations before. Have you been in a situation where you've lied before to get out of a scenario? Even one small little case. Hello? You know you went through the red light. When you got the letter, you said you didn't go. It wasn't you in the car. Somebody else. Yes, 60 pounds. Even you are lying. Then when you are in pain. You know what pain is? When you are in serious pain, you would take epidural. Say, give it to me. Bring the gas. Those of you who don't know, ask the women who have given birth before. They will tell you what that means. So, and I like Mary. When Mary went to Christ, the first thing Mary did? She fell at Jesus' feet. It's the signification of worship. Today, if you can worship him, the one who is a king, if you can honor him, he will make room for you. So she told Jesus the same thing. Jesus said, relax. And then the Bible says something very interesting about Jesus I want to show, because the translation doesn't give it very, very clear. Verse number 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews weeping, which came to her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. I will explain that word, he groaned in his spirit to you. You know what the original Greek? Jesus became very, very angry. Have you seen a horse that is preparing to do a race? You see the way, that's exactly how Jesus was groaning against Satan's work. When he saw people weeping, when he sees you in trouble and in pain, Jesus feels it as well. He is a high priest who also has experienced our infirmities. He groaned. He was in prison. Oh, God, look at humanity. Under the oppression of Satan, under the control of God, look at what death has done to mankind.
He groaned in his spirit. Today, Jesus is groaning for your situation. You may not feel, but I can tell you, he is groaning for the situation that is holding you bound. He's groaning. And then Jesus wept. It tells you Jesus cares for you. It tells you he knows your very situation. Now you think he doesn't care. He knows it. He loves you. He identifies with you. The Bible says we don't have a high priest who cannot be identified with our situation, be it financial, be it your health, be it your ministry, be it your relationship. Jesus Christ identifies with it. He does. He groaned. Then he said, take me there. He kept on groaning. I'm ready to face and destroy death. I'm ready to manifest the glory of God. By the way, I didn't give you why Jesus, when Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God. And that also that they might believe. Two reasons why Jesus does anything. It's for the glory of the Father, and so that when God does a miracle in your life, somebody in your family, somebody at your workplace will turn to God and know that God is indeed God. So Jesus goes to the tomb and says, roll away the stone. I give you whatever God tells you to do, do it. Because Martha and Mary again rose up against Jesus. They said, Jesus, what are you talking about? The man is thinking, do you want us to get some disease? Open the tomb and the fumes that will come out of there. How many of you have seen a dead body before? That is decomposing. Yeah, they don't let you see it. You said, where did you see it? I'm surprised. Well, you won't see it here. You see it when you go to some place. I'm not mentioning anywhere. But even we can't stand it. Even when people send you WhatsApp and you see somebody there, you can't even look at it. The body of Lazarus was rotting. Martha said, Jesus, you are not a scientist. You don't understand this situation. Do you know what? The man is dead. Do you know that we give God all the reasons? I came here to tell you today, stop. Turn to you and say, neighbor, stop giving your natural reasons to limit the Most High God. Hallelujah. I said, God, for instance, I can fill this place and that place in a single day. Easily. God can do it. Easily. Didn't Peter preach one day and 3,000 got saved? One day there'll be a cricket match here. And you will go and preach. And the world troop here. It will happen in the name of Jesus. God will do it. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say, roll away the stone. Whatever instruction God is telling you, do it. I don't know. God will give each and every one of us his own instruction. He will give me an instruction as a pastor what to do. He will give you an instruction for that breakthrough. Hallelujah. Are you here? He'll give you an instruction what to do. Roll away the. Say, regardless. You see, regardless of what the circumstance is saying, your situation, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Jesus was about to display that he's the master of all circumstances. He's the master over death. He was going to display to the disciples and to all the people around that he has power over death. Roll away the stone. They said, well, if the master is speaking, they rolled away the stone. I like Jesus. What he said. You know what Jesus said? He said, Father, I'm praying not because of, I know you've heard me, but these unbelievers around. I like Jesus, eh? Jesus would just have commanded Lazarus, come forth. But he said, Father, I know you hear me, or even you heard me. You have revealed to me that this guy, but for these people, you know, he said that these people, these people. At times, you see, at times when you go to a pastor, the pastor said, Pastor, I'm going to do it. And I said, it is done. Oh, Pastor, you didn't pray. They don't believe that what you have said, it is so. I remember prophet gave a story about a meeting where a woman, husband, had been tormenting him for going to church. slapping him, beating him, and said, then he warned him for the conference, if you go in this meeting, you see what I'll do to you. But the woman loved God, she went. When she came, understand that before she came, after the service, everybody had left. But the woman was, because of fear, torment, and impossible, wicked, up and down. And then they said, what is wrong? He said, my husband. He says, if I come here, I think the husband had even sent the son to come and check. So, when this woman, then I think prophet said, go, the angel of the Lord will go with you. Just that. No, there's not everything that we pray. When we declare things, believe. That is where the problem, you don't believe. When I say you are blessed, you are blessed. According to your faith, so shall it be done unto you. When we stand in our offices and we declare things, you have to believe it. The woman just believed and she went. The husband had locked her out. She opened the door. He opened the door. I'm not sure, but I think the first thing the husband gave her, this first dirty slap or not, I'm not sure. I think either he slapped her first or the second time when he was about, or the first, I don't know, prof can come and tell you later on. When the man lifted his hands to slap her, something lifted the man and threw him down like rugby players. Bam! The man started hallucinating. Even the wife was afraid. The husband was dying. Started screaming, hey, my husband, what's happened to you? What happened? The man, he said, you know, when I'm about to slap you, I saw a huge man right into the ceiling, big, with a sword. He said, if you like, touch it. You know, there are angels all in this room. You may not feel them, but they are here. Above all, Jesus Christ himself is in this place to work wonders and miracles for us, to cause doors to open that has been shut to you for years. He wants to do that. Roll away the stone. They roll it away. Then Jesus said, I'm going to display that I have power over death. That little circumstance you and I are facing, he has power over it. I don't know what you are facing. That is terrifying you so much. Who has got the power? Oh. Who has got the power? Who's got the power? Who's got the power? Once God has spoken, and twice have I heard, the power belongs to God. So, Lazarus, come out! With a loud voice, not small, some pion voice. Lazarus, come forth. No. You have to make sure everybody. Lazarus, come out! And the people heard it. And all they could see was a man wrapped in linen coming out. I'm sure that people will start running away. They didn't say it, but I'm sure some people will scatter quick. If you go to the mortuary, somebody's lying and they get up, will you be saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You will run even more than Usain Bolt. So, he came out. Today, if only you can hear the voice of the Spirit, you will come out. The Lord showed me a few things. Harassment. I saw harassment, eh? Harassment. Unbelievable. Last night. Not once, twice, three times. Of people being harassed. It's as if you are about to just get to your goal. Then things will come and just disturb you and frustrate you and just take your attention. Over and over again. Today, whatever has come to steal, to kill, and destroy, Jesus has come to reverse that situation. If you can believe, all things are possible. Shall we stand?